You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Swift gets it again. Big hole for Swift. Now he's in business, down near a first down. Think he's a half yard short.
And we'll see if the Bears are content with that or if they try to run another play to get closer. It looks like they're content with it.
Yeah, they obviously don't want to go to fourth down. There's nothing the Vikings can do to stop the clock. They'll just run it down to below 5 seconds and call their first time out.
That was a call on Fox as the Bears set up the game-winning field goal. Cairo Santos gets it done from 48 yards out. I thought it was bending. It looked like it was hooking. I don't think the ball placement, or at least the direction that the ball was facing, like, you know, laces out Finkel. I don't think that was perfect by any means. It started to hook, and then I was like, oh God. But, you know, this isn't your brother or your uncle's or your dad's Bears. This is a team that, as of now, has figured out how to win late, how to win in the final seconds. And a lot of it has to do with, as I've learned, the new nickname of Caleb Williams, Iceman. But this time it did not take Caleb Williams to ice it. They just got a great kickoff return from Devin Duvernay, and then they ran it to set up the field goal to win it. Nothing major from the rushing attack from the Bears today. They only averaged 3.6 yards on the ground yesterday, I should say. 39 carries, 140 yards. DeAndre Swift had 21 carries, 90 yards for him. So 4.3 yards per carry for number four. That was pretty good. I don't remember Menungai having 12 carries. I would have guessed it was less than that. Menungai, 12 carries, 23 yards. But he certainly was a battering ram the one time they got in the end zone when they were in the red zone. Not enough of that in yesterday's game. But Menungai, 12 carries, 23 yards to get it done. Before we hear from DeAndre Swift, who caught up with Tom Brady on Fox after the game, a couple texts coming into the show, 312-644-6767. In the 2 o'clock hour, we discussed, do you consider the Bears a good team? Patrick Manley said something in the postgame show where he said, I'm not ready to call them a good team. I don't know how you can win 7 of 10 games in the NFL, even if you're not playing the best of opponents, because any given Sunday is a real thing, right? And any given Sunday, you know, the Buffalo Bills, a lot of people had them slated to be in the Super Bowl. Well, they lost to the Miami Dolphins recently. It's just any given Sunday. So if you can show up and get it done, meaning score more than your opponent, then you got to at least give me good in that definition of the Bears. And by the way, a lot of people thought that the NFC North would be the most difficult division in all of football heading into this season. The Bears are at the top of that division of the NFC North. That's right, they are, Grant Leader.
I was just shaking my head because the NFC West is just a gauntlet right now. Niners, Seahawks, Rams,
and
the Cardinals are at the bottom, but those three teams, they're beating each other up for first place.
I got your gauntlet. How about the AFC North? Is that a gauntlet?
No, I think the Ravens have that pretty squared away now that Lamar's back and they got an easy schedule coming back with no Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers hurt now with 2-2 against both those teams.
So here's what we're looking at for the Bears and their next opponent. The Bears have, speaking of gauntlets, if you will, the Bears have Steelers on Sunday. Then they've got the Philadelphia Eagles prime time. Okay, it's Black Friday on Prime with a Friday 2 o'clock start. And then is it the and then it's the Packers. Yeah, I got it in front of me. It goes Vikings, Steelers, Eagles, Packers. Then you get a break with the Browns, who are 2-8, and then back to the Packers again. So Viking, no, you already beat the Vikings. You go Steelers, Eagles, Packers, Brown, Packers, then 49ers, Lions.
It's tough.
Let's get Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and TJ Edwards back and be playing our best football in December, as Ben Johnson has said. But let's talk about that Steelers game first and foremost. This is from Brooke Pryor, who's on the beat of the Steelers. She says that the initial concern is that Aaron Rodgers has a slight break in his left. That's his non-throwing wrist, as we know that Aaron Rodgers is not a lefty. Now listen to this verbiage. She says that Rodgers will undergo further testing today to determine the full extent of the injury and how long he'll be sidelined.
Darkness retreat?
Yeah.
That'll heal it.
It does not say if he'll be sidelined. It says how long he'll be sidelined. So Aaron Rodgers knocked from the game in the second quarter when the Steelers beat the Bengals today or yesterday 34-12. So if you're a betting man, if I were a betting man, I would bet on Mason Rudolph leading the Steelers against the Packers, against the Bears at Soldier Field. Speaking of the Packers, we've seen Aaron Rodgers come to Soldier Field and have way too much success that we care to remember. Would you give up having a better quarterback, Rodgers over Mason Rudolph, just for one last chance to beat Aaron Rodgers at Soldier Field? Or is this the kind of season where you're like, just give me 8-3. Just give me 8-3. I was really looking forward to that storyline on Sunday. I was really looking forward. The thing that scares me, anybody out there a fan of the late, great Toby Keith?
Yes.
I did a season of play-by-play for the Oklahoma City Redhawks, AAA baseball, and I lived in Moore, Oklahoma, about 12 miles out of town. And when you drive into Moore, Oklahoma, right there on that water tower, it says, Moore, Oklahoma, hometown of Toby Keith. And I'm a fan of the old Toby Keith, but he did have that one song that said, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was. And I you know, ever since he went to the Steelers and I knew that he'd be coming to Soldier Field, I've been thinking of that Toby Keith line. It's like, because Aaron Rodgers, first ballot Hall of Famer,
indeed,
right?
Indeed, yeah.
Multiple MVPs.
It hurts to say it, but yes.
He's 41 years old. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. I don't think we're going to see any of that with a broken left wrist.
Or he could just, you know, get some shots in the wrist and just say, let's go.
Yeah, or the Steelers defense, or check that the Bears defense could bow their neck and have multiple takeaways, and, you know, Montez Sweat get to him. Montez has had a good motor recently. Grady Jarrett helped cause one of those interceptions by getting to J.J. McCarthy. It's unfortunate that there was the late game finish that they had, because McCarthy was terrible, but you know, the Bears defense, I feel like they may be growing some confidence the way that they've been playing. So it's disappointing, but I think a lot of Bears fans would take the 8-3 and have the lesser quarterback. Well, who knows? Don't take Mason Rudolph lightly. That's probably what I'm doing. And let's hope that that is something that the Bears do not do. But that is the big news for the Bears heading into Steelers Sunday, is that broken left wrist. It looks like for Aaron Rodgers, and the way that that article was written, it did not say if he'll be sidelined. He said they'll try to learn today how long he'll be sidelined. So I think the Bears will be preparing for Mason Rudolph this upcoming Sunday at Soldier Field. Let's talk about DeAndre Swift a little bit. I thought, DeAndre was good, and It's really what the Bears have done best offensively since the bye week. They are second overall in the NFL in running the football. And the Bears have the fourth best offense when it comes to yards, second in running it. And DeAndre Swift helped them. It's hard to say seal the game because they gave it up late. You felt like they were going to seal it away. And then they couldn't get enough first downs and couldn't make a big field goal and left the door open. But Swift ran well in the second half. He spoke to Tom Brady after the game. Here he is on finding ways to win games for this Bears team.
How do you guys constantly find ways to come back and win?
Just staying poised. Special teams came through big for us at the right moment. We talked about it all week. Special teams need to give us a game-changing play, and they did at the right moment.
Let's hear more from DeAndre Swift on what, because this is the most important question on what the Bears changed about the run game coming off of the bye week.
You guys were so efficient today, running the ball effective, really since the bye week. You guys came out and all your stats now are top of the league in terms of how you guys are running the ball. How did you guys find today in your ability to dominate the line of scrimmage and maintain all those incredible stats you guys have put up the last 6 weeks?
Just everybody being on their details. We knew we was close. It wasn't what we wanted to be early on in the season. But like you said, after the bye, everybody started clicking. O-line, perimeter blocking. They turned 8-yard gains into explosive. So I feel like we did a good job today against a great opponent over there, sticking with it.
Finally, from DeAndre Swift, been talking about all these close games the Bears have been playing in.
You have such a distinct running style. Today, you were just hitting that thing so downhill, as hard as you can, running with so much authority. You guys are winning so many of these games. Obviously, there's a lot to improve on. What are the areas that you guys still want to get better as you're kind of marching toward the playoffs?
I feel like, personally, we've been in too many close games. When defense playing like that, we got to go ahead and capitalize off turnovers and go ahead and dominate for four quarters.
You know, I know that Bears fans were feeling it out there because middle third quarter, when the boos were raining down on J.J. McCarthy, right? I mean, Vikings fans and the entire offense and the way that things were going, the vibes were not good in Minnesota about what was happening under center for them. And that felt like the time where the Bears could just get a touchdown. If they could just figure it out in the red zone, they would put this team away. And that is an area that the Bears have not been good at all, and especially in the red zone. And I think they're certainly bottom half of the league of what's happening in the red zone, getting it done. And as we head into what is the more difficult part, the back half of the season for the Bears, and for them try to make a real push towards the playoffs, trading field goals for touchdowns is trading wins for losses. That's ultimately what it will be. Mason Rudolph or not, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on Black Friday. These are the games where if they're going to figure it out, if they're going to get in the end zone more, and if the red zone is going to be the green zone, meaning they get in there, they're going to have to get it done. 312-644-6767. Judson Richards along with you. A number of topics we've hit this morning. Number one, are the Bears a good team? Like, will you give them a good? Or because they have not beat opponents under 500 in the way that they've won games, are you just not ready to say that about this Bears team yet? Also, at 7-3 and at the top of the division, have you had to recalculate what your expectations are for this Bears team? Do you think that at this point, would it be an abject failure if they didn't get to the playoffs? Would you be disappointed if they didn't come away with a playoff victory? What's most important for me for where the Bears are as of now, that they are playing, you know, playoff caliber, important kind of games down the stretch. Like, this is growth. This is experience for a young team, and this is changing expectations of what you think a team can be. Because no matter what, really what has been most important this season is the connection between your head coach and your quarterback. And I do feel like their relationship, you know, there's been a lot of screen grabs, if you will, of Ben and Caleb embracing when they break it down in the locker room afterwards, right? Like the relationship seems to be, and it's, you know, it's always been good, but Ben Johnson, I think, I mean, he erred on the side of, I'm going to be a tough communicator and I'm going to grab a lot, you know, I'm going to expect a lot of you. Like, I don't think their relationship started at P.F. Chang's hanging out and just eating and drinking and have a good time. Like,
what's wrong with P.F. Chang's?
Love P.F. Chang's.
Gotta love it.
I worked there. I mix your sauce. There's a reason why I use that example. Maybe I should use the Cheesecake Factory, right?
Cheesecake Factory. That's good right
yeah,
there,
that's,
too.
That's a put your feet up and hang out kind of spot. That's not what Ben Johnson is about.
Maybe in some sweatpants, too, you know.
Get right. It's going to grow. That belly's going to grow. You're going to, you know, they're going to give you a plate of food that's for four, but it's for you. And then if you have three people with you, that adds up to 12 people. You're eating for 12 if you go to Cheesecake Factory like that. That's not how Ben Johnson rolls, right? He's going to coach you hard. But Caleb said he's wanted to be coached hard. I think he's meant it. He's lived up to it. It's not where they wanted to be, but you can't tell me you haven't seen legitimate growth. Remember the drop by DJ Moore? Right, if you're like, I'm on the fence about Caleb Williams, and that's fine. Be on the fence, and let's continue to watch together. But the drop by DJ Moore late in the game. How many Bears quarterbacks in years past have you watched immediately get back under center and rifle an absolute dart for 24 yards to go ahead and convert that first down? Because when I'm watching Caleb Williams, the last thing that I'm going to do to try to decipher how his season is going is go to Pro Football Reference. It does not give you the context of what Caleb Williams is working on. It doesn't. Because what Caleb Williams is working on is learning a brand new offense after being set up rather poorly in his first year in the NFL. Like, that's what we're watching. And you know what's kind of funny is Caleb will be credited with a game-winning drive today. He handed the ball off, and then Cairo Santos kicked it. So even though Caleb did not attempt a pass on the game-winning drive, Caleb still gets credit for leading it. It's his fifth game-winning drive in the fourth quarter of the season. That's tied with Bo Nix for the most in the NFL. And that is most by a Bears quarterback since the 1970 merger. And that as far back as complete scoring play information is available, meaning that he now holds the record, right? Like the game-winning drive today, but he's had to work so hard for the rest of them. Why not give him a layup for the fifth one, for the record setter? Because he was tied with Jay Cutler and a couple others, but now becomes the most all-time. Also, the Bears improved to 5-1. In one-score games this season, that's tied with the Panthers for second best in the NFL, believe it or not. The Bears, previously, 5-13 in one-score games in the previous two seasons. 5-13. That's second worst in the NFL. In front of only, I bet you can't guess the team that was worse than them winning percentage-wise in one-score games.
Bengals?
The San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not.
I was just going to guess Bengals because, you know, their defense is so bad and the offense is so good and they keep trying to get them in games, but they keep losing those games too.
Yeah, by the way, the 49ers have been in the playoffs regularly and also been in the Super Bowl. So it's not misleading, but like who the Bears have been over the last number of years, vastly different than the 49ers. So in this discussion of good, not good, what's most important to me is competency. Competency in how you're coached, and does it play out on the field? And one of the reasons, you know who's been incredible as a head coach in one-score games? The guy they beat yesterday in Kevin O'Connell. And that's why he does things like win head coach of the year, like he did last year. Competency, winning one-score games, knowing how to manage a clock, knowing how to use your timeouts. Let's say that Duvernay did not give them a big return. Did you still feel like the Bears were going to win that game? Because they only needed a field goal. Now, you don't have someone kicking at 60 yards. But you know what they did have? Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they still had all their timeouts.
Yeah, they had three timeouts.
Right. They had their three timeouts, meaning their head coach didn't have something silly happen or had a bad challenge.
Or wanted to take it into the next game.
Matty Eberflus, right, I want to carry it over. Like, there's competency that helps you win these games. There's competency that helps you get set up for success, even if it's not perfect, even if it's not 33 points a game like you want to have. You have competency, and you are putting what I believe to be your franchise quarterback in a place to learn, in a place to grow. And damn it, Caleb is built for it. He just is. I'm convinced of it. I mean, he has a rifle of an arm. He can throw from a lot of different arm angles, which is really important. He can throw on the move. And what did they say in the game today? Did they say that he's been clocked at 20 miles per hour running the football?
Yeah, something like that.
Which is as fast as wide receivers?
Yeah, like I think in one game I saw, or it was probably just graphic, that he has a top five speed amongst quarterbacks this year. That's in the pantheon of, you know, the Josh Allens and the Lamar Jacksons of the world. So that's pretty impressive too.
And you know, we want so badly to have perfection, and I get it. I'm talking about from a passing standpoint. But, I mean, this was a great stat that they had. Midway through the game this season, Caleb Williams, 14 sacks under 119 pressures. So that is averaging between those two, between the pressures to a sack, only being sacked 11.8% of the time. That is second fewest in the NFL.
He's escaping the pocket so well, too. I think you turn on TV and you watch the game, you see him escape the pocket at least once or twice and evade defenders like nothing.
Sacks cost you points. Sacks don't just cost you, you know, being second and long, third and long. Sacks, over the course of a season, take points off the board because you oftentimes take yourself out of field goal range. And so the Houdini acts, it's not just fun to watch. It's actually allowing the Bears to be in the top eight, top six in points scored per game. Like that matters. It's not just in the completion percentage, which needs to go up. It's not just solely in the red zone percentage, which needs to go up. But all of this is growing towards a franchise quarterback. 312-644-6767. Maybe you aren't as convinced as I am, as what we saw yesterday, but the Bears continue to take the football away. And they did just enough. What they did was what you would expect or what you would hope your team to do to a second-year quarterback who is more like a rookie quarterback, really trying to find himself in J.J. McCarthy. You did not get that against the Baltimore Ravens, against Huntley, who looked like he should be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You did not get that against old man Joe Flacco, who threw for 67,000 yards against you. But you hope that they carry that over against what I believe to be Mason Rudolph for the Steelers on Sunday, where you need to remind Mason Rudolph he's Mason Rudolph. And that's what a good defense does, and that's what a defense does that you hope will get you to the playoffs. 312-644-6767. Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times, he was there. What was the biggest storyline for him coming out of this Bears victory and the Bears improving to 7-3 and holding the NFC North to their own? We'll ask him coming up next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Little play action. Pressure coming. McCarthy steps so close. And it's intercepted by Byard. Kevin Byard with some room to roll. Gets a couple blocks inside the 30. The fifth interception, the league leader for Kevin Byard.
It's a little everything, a little protection issues. JJ's a little late on this crossing route. And then a little bit of push there as he's getting thrown. Creates not all the pace on the football that he needs. And Byard, being the veteran, he knows in zone coverage, I'm going to sink back, I'm going to get my width.
All right, that was a call on Fox as Kevin Byard. His fifth interception of the season, that is the best in the NFL, also the best at takeaways, is your Chicago Bears. Also at the top of the NFC North, your Chicago Bears. The list goes on and on. They've won 7 of their last 8, and things are good on a Bears Monday, a victory Monday here on 6-7 The Score. And also, as football fans or NFL fans, I know at times, like, it's hard to feel good about your teams. We don't let ourselves. What's getting you down? Like, what's concerning you about this Bears team? We could talk about that as well. 312-644-6767. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank. And great clips. We'll set the station rundown coming up here in just a little bit. Also want to remind you, tonight the Bulls take on the Nuggets in Denver. Pregame coverage starts at 7:45. Tip-off at 8 o'clock on The Score in the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Helly Forklifts. What a game it was last night. Double OT right here on The Score as the Bulls fall to the Utah Jazz in a wild game. Kobe White, 27 points, 30 minutes played as he came back from injury, his first game back. It'll be interesting to see on a back-to-back if he's out there, how Billy Donovan and the rest of the team played that. But Bulls and the Nuggets tonight right here on 6-7 The Score. Olin Krutz will join Mullinghaw at 7 o'clock. Brad Biggs at 8 o'clock. Clay Harbor at 9 o'clock, just to get you started for what's coming up on Mullinghaw this morning. What a play it was by Kevin Byard. Terrible game by J.J. McCarthy, if we're being honest, and the Bears were able to just overcome it with a win 19-17. A couple of interesting texts after a conversation about Mason Rudolph over Aaron Rodgers. We don't know for certain if Aaron Rodgers will miss Sunday, Steelers and the Bears at Soldier Field, but he did break his left wrist on Sunday. The way that the article was written, it said MRI today to find out how long he'll be sidelined. Not if Aaron Rodgers will be sidelined, but it looks like you're going to have a good chance you could have Mason Rudolph. A couple of texts coming in. This one from the 773 said, you can go ahead and pencil the Bears for a W next Sunday. I'm a lifelong Steelers fan. They don't win in Chicago. 1-13 all time. He says the record this year not indicative of their play, and Rodgers will not play. So the text line has confirmed, although we'll probably wait on Adam Schefter to make sure that it will not be Aaron Rodgers. Then there's this text from the 336. It says, we have to assume Rodgers will play and be great. This is the exact scenario where that scumbag comes to town and plays great. Don't lose focus.
This guy has been on flashbacks.
Yeah, I know. But he will not be in a Packers uniform. He will not be 28 years old. He is 41. And something I know about someone in their 40s, we're very fragile. We're very fragile. Our bones get very weak, and it's hard to survive out there on the NFL football field.
He's trying. He's trying to stretch it out as much as he can. He's trying to be like Brady, but yeah. No one
not
can be
close.
Like him.
No, not even close. And Tom Brady's a psychopath with how he took care of himself. And text line, let me know, what did you think of Tom Brady's work on the call with Kevin Burkhardt? I thought, you know, if you took out, like, if you just listen from a distance, I think he sounded more conversational, more comfortable. Like, he should be getting better. Greg Olson will forever run circles around him, should not have lost his job. I think I would take Greg Olson over anyone. If I'm watching a game, I'm taking him over Tony Romo.
Yep.
I'm taking him over, I think, everybody. That's how good I think Greg Olson is. But I thought Tom Brady was better.
I like Tom Brady as an analyst. I mean, obviously, as a fan, like watching him destroy my team and crush my hopes all the time growing up, not the best. But I'm honestly enjoying his work. And, you know, he's gone from just calling one game to calling the Super Bowl, and now he's like one of the best. I honestly think he's top five color analysts in the game right now.
No chance, Grant. No, absolutely
no chance on top five.
No, I well, there's not that many of them, at least for Fox. But I will say this: there was an interesting moment where, you know, I don't know if it was Aaron Andrews or Tom Rinaldi and Kevin Burkhardt. They all were kind of making excuses for J.J. McCarthy. He's young. He's been hurt a lot. And then I appreciated Tom was kind of like, yeah, he needs to hit his open receivers. Like, you know, he shot him straight as a first rounder. I appreciated that. But most importantly, you know, the Bears got it done. And Tom said something about the Bears where he said, even though the Bears are best at takeaways, if they can just be even from a takeaway standpoint, like don't lose the takeaway battle by the fourth quarter, that you've got a team that knows how to win late and they can get it done. And that's what happened. Text line has responded from the 407. Tom Brady wasn't good.
He was.
It's a simple. Yeah. I mean, Grant Leader, I did not know Grant was the biggest Tom Brady fan I ever heard. I said he got better. I didn't find him to be likable. The only thing I like about Tom Brady is when he's talking about his own career. That's when he's at his best because he did it the best. Sometimes I find him to be very robotic, but I will say there was some improvement there. But
as a player, I hated him. But as an analyst, it's starting to grow on me. But I did the same thing with Tony Romo, where I did not like him, liked his analysts, and now he's just getting a, I don't know, Jim, type of stuff, and it's just, that's really annoying.
All right, so we're going to go back to Minnesota now, because Patrick Finley, he was there, he was on it. He had an interesting nugget about Caleb Williams, too, and perhaps a change we're watching in number 18. So let's check in with Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Let's begin here. Patrick, this is what you do for a living. What was the biggest storyline takeaway for you for this Bears win over the Vikings?
They found another increasingly ridiculous way to win at the end. And this time they gave us a version that we hadn't seen before, which was a long kick return that turned into a Cairo Santos field goal to win it. Devin Duvernay's kick return was so good, in fact, that the Bears were probably going to try a field goal, even if they had gained no offensive yards from that point. It would have been about a 60-yarder, and Cairo Santos thought he was good for 61. So that was, for me, the headline. The secondary note there is, of course, the Bears put themselves in this situation in the fourth quarter the same way they seem to be doing, dating to the start of the season.
I thought the head coach had a much better day than the offensive play caller, right? Like Ben Johnson improves to 7-3, which is really, really impressive from where the Bears have been, even in the last decade plus. But from a play calling standpoint, he didn't look in rhythm. Caleb wasn't necessarily in rhythm. The offense definitely wasn't in rhythm.
Yeah, and you know, some of that is Brian Flores too. And
true.
I'm sure Ben will tell us on Monday that, you know, when you're facing Flores' defense, there's kind of only so much you can do. But yeah, they never felt good, did it? You know, the first quarter, You've got Caleb throwing 50-yard passes on third down that fall incomplete, you know, in two separate drives. You have, for some reason, a handoff to Travis Homer, who hadn't taken the ball all year on a third down play. Just a lot of really kind of bizarre stuff. But, you know, I'll tell you what, the run game was there when they needed it again. And,
yeah.
You know, I feel like this slips through the cracks even in some of my own writing, which is, you know, go to the Commanders game at the end. Go to this game at the end. And, you know, the most important plays made on offense are handoffs to DeAndre Swift. And that's something I think the Bears can rely on. I mean, even there at the end, you know, they've got, you know, third and nine, you know, or third and eight, and they hand the ball off to Swift and gets seven. Like, if he gets three, that's a very different kick for Cairo Santos. So I think you're right. I think the head coach is going to have a conversation with his play caller at some point this week. But whoever's in charge of the run game, I think, still gets his weekly bonus.
You know, and it's nice to see an investment pay off, right? They went and purchased, you know, the interior of that offensive line from left guard to center to right guard. And I think you're really watching, along with Darnell Wright, who's having a very, very good season. But it looks like that part of the run game, the money that they spent, is one of the reasons why they are where they are.
Yeah, and they've been healthy, too. You know, you saw Theo Benedict leave the game, I think, today for one whole play. And then come back, but I believe the Bears have had their starting five intact for the last six starts, something like that. That's something that literally never happened to Matt Eberflus. So, you know, they're paying top dollar, especially for that center and two guards. But the fact that they're all posting and that they're all staying healthy is a really, really important thing. I mean, really good teams typically have an offensive line that stays healthy and plays together. And, you know, that's what we're doing now. And also, like, let's call it what it is. Like, the decision to promote Theo Benedict, you know, in Braxton Jones's spot,
yep,
is a bold and not something that is easily defensible in the moment. And, you know, Theo is a really good run blocker. And I think you can see just a little bit of the nastiness that the Bears were missing Theo brought to them when he stepped in as the starter at left tackle.
He is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Judson Richards along with you on 6-7 The Score. Patrick there in Minnesota. Patrick, let's take the 30,000-foot view from Caleb Williams, the season that he's having. We all know what happened on Sunday. Wasn't pretty, but again, he also does some pretty miraculous things to stay away from a sack. May help you stay in field goal range, especially if they're not great in the red zone. You're going to need those 3 points. But what do you make of the season that Caleb Williams is having at this point, 10 games in?
Pretty good. I think that it's easy to sit there and get frustrated if he doesn't get better every single week. When I think we all know intellectually that that's just kind of not how it works.
Right.
Like, you know, he makes a leap and then he'll plateau. Then maybe he has a bad game and then he'll make a leap again. You know, this is a guy who, at least entering today's game, was on pace to be the single season passing leader in the history of the franchise. This is a guy who, entering today's game, had won twice as many games as he'd lost. And this is a guy who, when it mattered, put the team on his back. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times in all the 13 years I've covered this team that you write about some young guy having to learn how to win and all of this, you know, cliche sports stuff. You know, Caleb Williams, it might not always be pretty, but it seems like he knows how to win.
Yep.
And that is just so different than what we're used to. And then another thing, too, you know, I was talking to somebody in the press box tonight, and you could argue, especially, well, we were talking when Jordan Love left the game in Green Bay, but you're sitting there wondering, what's the last time the Bears had maybe the second best quarterback in the NFC North? Like, I don't know, like Jay Cutler, maybe in an Aaron Rodgers year, maybe once. Like there's a pretty distinct advantage there when Caleb's playing well. And, you know, look no further than what we saw in J.J. McCarthy today. He, in only his fifth game, you know, we can't judge him long-term in his, you know, when he's played five games. But, boy, you saw today what happens when you have a roster that's ready to win and a guy playing quarterback who just can't make it work. And, you know, we saw a lot of that last year with Caleb, honestly. Like, some of this reminds me, you know, you have Justin Jefferson talk about being frustrated after the game. Is that any different than DJ Moore talking about being frustrated last year? Like,
yep,
there are some parallels to the Bears last season. But, man, if I was a Vikings fan and you had Sam Darnold on your roster last year and you decided to let him go and take a chance on this quarterback who, you know, I think it's pretty apparent halfway through the season that J.J. McCarthy, you may not know by the end of the year whether J.J. McCarthy's a keeper or not. And that's the end of his, you know, second NFL season. And boy, that's, you know, you start to wonder at that point.
You know, Patrick, you and I watch the game through very different lenses, me very much through the Fox lens. And I'll give him credit. I thought Tom Brady sounded much better than he has. Like, he's a guy that has worked into the job. I think he knows J.J. McCarthy pretty well because of the Michigan ties. But he sounded good with Kevin Burkhardt. I thought he was good today. And it was interesting watching Tom Brady, who, because there's been so much talk about the body language of Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson wanted to improve it. I would hope guys that had the season last year would show some bad body language with how miserable that season was. But, you know, Tom Brady is the guy that I saw scream at Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator. And they caught Caleb Williams a couple times really getting on his teammates. And Tom Rinaldi did a piece on it during the game about he used the word chirping, and Caleb Williams was chirping at his offense on the sideline. And that's something that I've been watching for, like, because Caleb is a smiley guy. He's an affable guy. But I want a little bit more of Ben Johnson's edge in Caleb Williams, because ultimately he is Ben Johnson on the field in the huddle, right? Like, they need to see it the same way. He needs to understand it. And I felt like today or yesterday, I felt like the numbers didn't portray it, but I felt like there was some real leadership, and it wasn't smiley, it wasn't pat you on the back. I felt like Caleb was like, this is where we need to be, and this is what we need to do, and it wasn't just coming from the head coach.
You know, I felt that in the post-game press conference, believe it or not. And, you know, most of these post-game press conferences, you know, it's, you know, especially when the quarterback talks a half hour after the game ends, everybody's kind of calmed down, and, you know, it's a fairly fairly boilerplate stuff. But, you know, Caleb said over and over again today, said, we have the guys. We have the guys. We have the guys. And he also said, you know, we haven't begun to scratch the surface of this offense. You know, we talk about Luther Burden and about how, you know, last week when, you know, when there was a got to have it play, they threw it to Luther Burden and it was great. And about how, you know, years from now, you know, he and Luther will have grown together in a way that's going to be really special. And right now they got to figure it out. There was an intensity to him today post-game that was a little different than I'm used to. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of fun, and you've seen it in some of these wins, is, you know, you walk into a locker room and you can tell when a locker room is thrilled that they've won.
Yep.
Or when they're happy that they've won and know that they can't keep getting away with this very long. And I think we're entering month two of, you know, happy to win, but not satisfied. And I think that's a really good sign. You know, Kevin Byard said today, you know, that somebody had asked him, you know, whether they could keep playing like this and beat better teams. And he goes, I hope we never find out. Like, I hope we get it fixed. And I think that's a really healthy attitude to have. And, you know, I think that there were times, I mean, Caleb Williams went 2.5 months without winning a game last year. And I'm sure in the moment, had they won a game, he would have gone to the podium and been like, yeah, man, winning's awesome. Yeah, let's go. And now I think that they're spoiled in a good way, in the sense that, you know, a win is a win and everybody's happy about it, but they're not going to go up and do backflips and, you know, kind of until they think they've played really well. And I'm not sure there's a single game this year where they could sit there and tell you that they played as well as they had hoped to play and still won the game.
Yeah, that edge that you talk about with Caleb Williams, I think that is Ben Johnson raising the standard, and then Caleb Williams understanding, feeling that standard, and then really, really applying it in what you heard from him. Because Ben, certainly, he lacks some of that chutzpah of the good, better, best speech, right? Like, it's been so good. It's been so great on social media. It's kind of like how we spend our Sunday nights and our Mondays recently in Chicago. But this one, I was like, yeah, he's not feeling great about the way that this one went, because they almost let it get away. And even though the Bears didn't play great, the Vikings played much worse than they did over four quarters, and they found themselves trailing yet again with the final 2 minutes to go. Patrick, let me ask you defensively a little bit. What did you make of where the Bears are now defensively, and how badly do they need Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards, and Jalen Johnson to make their way back, and when could we see those guys?
Well, first of all, I thought this is probably the worst quarterback play that they're going to face all year. And, you know, it's
in steps Mason Rudolph.
I was just going to say that. And, you know, to their credit, like, you know, I'm sure at some point, you know, J.J. McCarthy sailing guys isn't just because J.J. McCarthy is being inaccurate. You know, there's some things that the Bears are doing. The drops the Vikings had reminded me of the Bears last week. Like, it was remarkable.
Yeah.
I think that what's exciting about this defense is I think 2 or 3 weeks ago you'd sit there and say, what is the path to this defense getting better? And you'd sit there and go, Shamar Turner, second round pick, he seems to be coming on. Guess what? He gets hurt out of the air. Sit there and go, Dio Odangbo, you know, once they can move him inside, he can rush the passer from the inside, and that'll be a lot more like what they wanted. He gets hurt out of the air. And, you know, and there's a, you know, there's a moment maybe 2 weeks ago where you're sitting there going, I don't see a path for this defense to do anything other than what they've been doing, which is being a defense that it felt like sometimes they were getting very lucky to get some of these takeaways. But now you're sitting there and, you know, I don't think it'll be this week, maybe next week. But, you know, you've got the Packers the first week of December. And, boy, if you can have Jalen, TJ, and Kyler kind of right around that time, I mean, those are, you know, maybe your three best defensive players stepping in kind of for the stretch run there. I think that is very exciting. I don't think Jalen's going to play this upcoming week. I just think it's too soon. But, you know, Black Friday, yeah, maybe. That'd be dramatic, wouldn't it? And the Bears, you know, all the Bears can do is beat the guys on their schedule here. But, boy, that schedule's really, really broken in their favor. You know, whether it's, missing Lamar Jackson, missing Joe Burrow, now you might miss Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, if you can get by with the guys you've got, you know, it could be really exciting to see, you know, what they can do against Jordan Love twice, against Brock Purdy, and this schedule they have in December that's really going to test them. If you've got, you know, these three guys back, you know, maybe you got a fighting chance.
Yeah, Patrick, speaking of how bad J.J. McCarthy was on Sunday, you know the term medicine ball where –
Hospital ball.
Thank you. A hospital ball where they end up needing medicine and ending up in the hospital. Yeah. He threw a hospital ball to the Bears where it was up in the air for so long that, like, Jaquan Brisker took out Tyreek Stevenson, right? And do we know the word on Tyreek, how he's doing?
He talked after the game.
Okay.
Well, it's funny. He came back and he played one play. And he checked in for the first play of a drive.
Tried it.
Yeah. And literally just raised his hand and walked off. Talked after the game. Didn't make it sound too incredibly serious. One of the things that I found a little disturbing was, you know, he said that he's still trying to piece together exactly what happened, which is never a good sign.
That's how bad J.J. was.
You know, and Brisker had said, too, that, you know, that this happens in practice. Sometimes you just run into your own guys when you're going to pick the ball up. But there was a moment when that ball was in the air, you know, in real time, you're sitting there going, oh, that's an interception. You know, and as the game then went the way it went, I was thinking back to, you know, the Tremaine Edmonds, 96-yard touchdown in Cleveland, or I'm sorry, in Cincinnati, when you're sitting there going, oh, this 21-point game, this thing's over. And then it comes back, and then all of a sudden the Bears are in trouble again. I thought that had all the makings of being that moment where things went sideways kind of from that point on. And it didn't, you know, having Tyreek is really important for them, if for no other reason, but they just can't afford to lose another guy. And, you know, there are some measurements that think, you know, there's some stats that consider Tyreek one of the best corners in football. There are others that think he's, you know, kind of middle of the road. I mean, I would argue to you that right now it doesn't matter. I think the difference between Tyreek and the next man up is pretty huge, and that they can't afford to lose him.
Patrick, 60 seconds. Would you want that Viking stadium in Arlington Heights?
Oh, my God, yeah. It's my favorite stadium in the world. And, you know, this is
the
where
world?
I say, you know, I'm sorry. It's my favorite NFL stadium in the world. Lambeau Field is great, and I would argue to you, if we're going to talk about stadiums, whether it's baseball, football, or whatever, we should have different categories for the old-timey ones. Dodger Stadium and Wrigley Field should be their own. It should be their own things, and Fenway should be their own things, and then everything else should be discussion. But in terms of new stadiums, U.S. Bank is my favorite by far. It feels like you're outdoors because of the light that comes in through the ceiling. It is beautiful. It is well-appointed. Just the artwork there is just stupid great. And, you know, they have all these little dumb traditions that really make it fun to go to games. whether it's the Galler horn or the giant drum and then doing the skull chant. And along those lines, I don't know whether you saw this, but Cairo Santos in the locker room today when he got a game ball, did the gritty. You're familiar with the gritty?
I am.
Did the gritty while doing the skull chant with his arms.
I did not pick up on that. That's right, he did.
Yes, yeah, so a shout out to US Bank Stadium from Cairo, and yeah, if they built a stadium that was 75% of US Bank Stadium, I'd be thrilled. That's how much I like the place.
Patrick, you are the man. Patrick Finley, the Chicago Sun Times. Follow him, read his work. My favorite Bears coverage. Thank you, Patrick.
Hey, anytime.
What a Sunday it was! As not only did the Bears move to atop the NFC North, like seismic is probably too strong of a word. I do think that there may be some shifting happening, at least in the power dynamics of the NFC North, or at least how good we think this division is, where not only did the Vikings lose to the Bears, and so the Bears now sit atop the NFC North, but the Vikings have some questions. I don't know, you know, J.J. McCarthy is a young quarterback, right? I'm not trying to say that he's a bust or he's not going to live up to expectations. He's still young. He's got to be able to stay healthy first and foremost. But, you know, there was a lot of inaccuracies for J.J. McCarthy. So they are not the 14-win Sam Darnold Minnesota Vikings. Like, that was a team last year that looked like they were should be in an all-in kind of scenario. And they did not go all in of keeping Sam Darnold. They went with J.J. McCarthy, and now they're 4-6. And the Bears helped move them to being under 500. And then you watched, again, a very good Philadelphia Eagles team. But then you watched the Detroit Lions put up only 9 points against the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. And the Lions benched their new offensive coordinator, John Morton, a couple weeks ago. And so Dan Campbell's out there with wearing the old man readers, because he's now your play caller, and he's only coming up with 9 points, and that's not the Lions team we knew from last year, especially averaging 33 points a game. Why? Well, because they no longer have Ben Johnson, because he's here in Chicago. So the Bears are at the top of the NFC North. The Lions look like they have play calling issues, which shouldn't be shocking, and the Vikings have quarterback issues, which they did not have last year. So looking at the NFC North and things evolve and change constantly, I felt like yesterday was a very, very large day in our division. And oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers looks like he broke his left wrist, and a good chance it could be Mason Rudolph instead of Aaron Rodgers here on Sunday as the Steelers take on the Bears at Soldier Field. I'll allow you to decide if you'd rather have a healthy Aaron Rodgers and just would love a chance to beat him one more time, or you say, get me to 8-3. If Mason Rudolph is the lesser quarterback, just give me the lesser quarterback. Pretenders or contenders? Who is this Bears team? What do you think? Good? Not good? Patrick Manley said in postgame, he still doesn't think the Bears are a good team. Do you agree or disagree? And what is the most impressive thing head coach Ben Johnson has done since leading the Bears through 10 games? Final hour. Coming up next on 6-7 of the Score.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.